Yeah, huge thanks to Stevie G there playing out all the bangers. Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you all the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County as well as further afield. If you're a Liverpool fan, I'm sure you're feeling fairly elated at the moment. 2 goals in 3 minutes sends the Reds to the top of the table. Rugby players, I'm talking to you. This is your chance to win €10,000 for your rugby club. Join the Bank of Ireland Never Stop Competing Challenge in Thomond Park on November 30th. Round up two teammates and compete in the ultimate catching competition with €10,000 on the line for your rugby club. Everyone who takes part gets a free ticket to the Munster versus Emirates Lions match. What are you waiting for? Don't miss out. Sign up now at neverstopcompetingchallenge.ie or contact your local rugby club. And sticking with the rugby, we're looking at Thomond Park at the moment in Munster's clash versus the fabled All Blacks. And the current score is Munster nil to the All Blacks' 7. A man no stranger to chatting rugby at this stage is very own Rory O'Hagan. Here he is chatting to Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes about Graham Rowntree's departure from the club.
Fiona, what was your reaction, your gut reaction when you saw the Munster statement that Graham Rowntree had left the club?
Yeah, personally, I was really shocked because I think the Sharks game is in the distance now, but even watching the press conference or the chat after, you know, Graham was looking, talking about that All Blacks game. And, you know, I suppose you were looking at coming back from South Africa and regrouping this squad, and what a game to try and go in and put in a performance. So I was blown away. Mutual consent, I suppose, being honest about it, the first thing that entered my head is why? How this is so quick. It isn't just as simple as we decided to do the RFU and Munster and us. So I felt like there was something more brewing in the background. Whether we'll ever hear that, I'm not sure, but I was certainly shocked with it.
Bernie, I don't think I saw this coming. What was your immediate reaction?
I don't think anybody saw it coming. Immediate reaction is shocked. It's one of those kind of things you go, whoa, it's big news. The phone starts hopping. Everyone asking questions. You know, people think I'm in the know that what's after happening here, why did it happen, all that kind of stuff. So nobody saw this coming, really. I don't think it's... we have to be careful what we say here. Munster fans want to know what's going on. And as I said, we're doing a podcast. We try and engage the Munster fans every week. Both Fiona and I would love to be able to say, yes, this happened, that happened, this is the reason. But you're kind of on dangerous ground. We don't know. There's lots of rumours and speculation out there. And that's very unfair sometimes on people. So, yeah, it's initial shock. And, you know, Munster have won 2 out of 6 games. 2 years ago, they won 2 out of 7 in the first 7 games. So it doesn't look like it's results driven. Given where they were last year and they got to the semi-final and there was big frustration, disappointment losing to Glasgow. There was a home final on the horizon if they won that semi-final. So they could have been URC champions the last 2 years in a row. So some would say, yeah, very close, and that things are looking good. But I think, again, structurally, and there needs to be a bit of a review here as to what went on. And if nothing is found and everything is in good order, great, move forward, get a new head coach and try and give the Munster fans a little bit of a lift again, because people are shocked here. And you have to feel for Graham Rowntree because, you know, his family are over in Limerick. There's a family human side to this as well. So I don't think Graham Rowntree would have wanted to leave. Now, sometimes in work or in business and sport, people do change and they want to leave their job and move on to something else. But again, speculation, but I doubt if that happened. I think this is an RFU Munster decision to make a change. And, you know, getting the exact answers and the exact reasoning, I'm not sure we'll get to that. But maybe Munster need to... Look, they put out a statement and this happens. And it happens in Premiership football all the time. When a manager goes, mutual consent, handshake, out the door, you never hear another word from that person again. So I don't know what's going to happen and what happened here. But it's a big shock, and it's in the back of a lot of question marks in the last couple of weeks around performances. And And look, again, maybe it did. Maybe it has come from performances. Maybe there's a ruthless kind of an element to this to say this we should be better, and there's a worrying sign, because just because you know, history doesn't always repeat itself in the exact same way. In a sense of 2 years ago, as I said, 2 out of 7 went on to win it. You know, you could throw that argument out. Keep throwing it out and saying, oh, Munster are going a great run, and who knows, they'll be in the playoffs at the end and they could win it again. But yeah, it's a big, big decision, and one that kind of is after rocking everybody.
Yeah, certainly as we get into the weeds, I suppose. And as you mentioned, Quinny, look, there are lots of rumours going around, lots of speculation, lots of innuendo. We can't really get into that because it is all that. It's just rumours and speculations. We can't really get into what we've been hearing outside in various media or whatever. So we can't really get into the, I suppose, the rumours that we've been hearing. So we'll just kind of stick to the facts and, I suppose, discuss Rowntree's departure that way. I have to say, personally, I suppose, anytime I've dealt with Graham, he's been more an absolute gentleman. He's always been very decent at post-match press conferences and pre-match press conferences. Very, very funny, very dry, sarcastic humour. And he was all very, very helpful as well. So I suppose thank you to Graham on that.
Yeah, and he came on with us here as well, didn't he, Rory? He came on with us at the when he was announced as head coach, and was very open. And you know, Fiona's going to read out some of the comments in a few minutes, but there's a few there saying that, you know, he gets Munster and he's a good fit for Munster, coming from Leicester, and a lot of similarities and the battles we would have had in the earlier days in Europe with them, kind of working class club type mentality, and sometimes that bit of a chip on the shoulder that we reveled in, you know. So some similarities, if people can understand that Leicester Munster, and maybe there was a big rivalry there in the early 2000s with Europe and all that. So it felt like he was the, you know, we were both very pro him getting the job when he got it. And I suppose that's coming out a lot in the messages, that people feel that, you know, this is a big shock and that he did a great job for Munster, and he did bring Munster to the first trophy in 12 years. But things change quickly, and, you know, the dynamics of professional sport, and, you know, we're not going to fuel any of those rumours, but there's plenty of them out there. So he might have been just unhappy with where he's going, the support he's getting, and the other side, Munster, the RFU, might be unhappy about his vision, whatever the case may be.
There's certainly a lot of comments reaching us on the show, Fiona. There'll be certainly a lot of talking points coming out of those. You can't get to all links. There's been a lot of comments coming in about Graham Rowntree's departure, but Fiona, you've got those.
Yeah, I'll read through as many as I can. You can cut me off, Rory, when you think there's enough. So we'll start with Kevin Ryan. It's depressing enough that he's gone. What I'm now finding increasingly frustrating is that the lack of knowledge on what actually happened is facilitating endless different unfounded versions being asserted, and which seems to be more what I'd like to have happened. Yeah, so yeah, Quinny, you kind of chatted about that already, didn't you? Liam Walsh, hi Quinny. This seems like a mistake. It can't be results-based decision. Won the URC in his first year, topped the league last year. There must be something else in the history in the background. Rumours of splits in the coach group, hard to know what to believe. Austin Hines, from a fan point of view, there seems like a backward step in every way. This is the kind of move I associate with disorganised and poorly managed clubs. I'm beginning to realise that is what we are. Paul O'Sullivan, he's gutted for Wig. Not the right choice to sack him, in my opinion. Injuries and poor results aside, the team was in transition. He deserved time to see the team through the tough period. Trying to get a new head coach in the middle of the season is going to be a tough, tough job. Redvef, I'd say the main thing people want to discuss or hear is the real Rowntree story. everything outside that is just ignoring the elephant in the room and carry on chatting, so we'll probably chat what we can. Eamon, I hope you use the show to recognise what a significant significant positive impact Graham has had on the Munster first trophy in 12 years, table toppers last season. He leaves a proud legacy. Declan, I'll finish on this. Injury profile unsustainable over the recent years. Horrible how the break panned out. You would hope health and nothing related to it for him and his family. Age profile in a certain area is tantamount to neglect. What's the plan? What the plan is for that would determine who wants the job, I think.
Yeah, a lot of talking points.
That's a really good one. Sorry, Rory, about who gets the job. If very simple terms, if you sit down with people potentially employing you here, you need to see what's behind the first team, where it's all at, your S&C, your medical, your academy, players coming through. And from a selfish point of view, any coach going in there, it can either make or break you, in a sense that if it goes well and you go on a brilliant run and you turn things around and you win trophies and you compete for trophies, well, you enhance your own reputation. We had that with a number of coaches. When Alan Gaffney came to Ireland, he was with Leinster first, he came to Munster, was he with Leicester at one point, went back to Australia, he was with the Wallabies. Jim Williams was the same, started his coaching, ended up going back working with Australia. Tony McGahan, went back, and all these coaches that certainly I would have experienced. Munster's a big club in a sense that if you can, Jason Holland, he's with New Zealand now. There's probably a few more that you forget, even assistant coaches along the way. Alan Waters is with Ireland now and was involved in two World Cups with South Africa. He was S&C with Munster a number of years ago. Felix Jones, Jerry, so I'm not saying it should be a stepping stone, but it sometimes can end up in really putting a coach in a good position that you get it on your CV, particularly if you get the head coach job. So it's a really good point there from the person who sent that message. What's the plan? You sit down here, what's your vision? What's the future? Where are we going? And then you assess if you can see growth in that.
There's one of the comments, Fiona, saying that it can't be a results-based decision on Graham Rowntree's departure, but simple fact of the matter is Munster's results and performances haven't been up to muster this season so far.
Yeah, look, and I think the reason someone would say it, and I would say it myself, is we've seen in the past Graham's ability to turn that around, and such early on in the season, it's not very rugby-like, is it? I think Gerry Thornley had a piece saying, this isn't soccer, and I suppose we see it so often in the Premier League that we're shocked to see it so early in the season, and if it's not really a daunting results-based, yes, at the end of the season, maybe he wouldn't have finished out the 2 years in the contract, but I certainly don't think it's results-based. We've seen a spark in the attack. I mean, if you look at how Munster are attacking, yes, winning games is paramount, but how they're attacking, we've seen growth in that. I think they're second highest in the league in attack at times, in offloads, different things in the game that we've seen. It's just the results aren't going the way, but it's so early in the season that it can't be results based, because his profile as a coach has showed that he has an ability to get the group together after a bad run like that and lift them, as we've seen the two previous years. So that's why I wouldn't consider it results based. Something else must have happened. Yes, results are part of that process, but I would imagine there's been a couple of things added up. Even Graham speaking about looking for a prop. I mean, how frustrated is he over in South Africa to props moving someone to the opposite side to, is it 35 or 36 year old props having to get through a game? You can't, he's cried out, he's asked for help with these injuries. So I would imagine he's very, very frustrated. And we know Graham has been vocal in all his press conferences, and he's honest about that. So hopefully with his honesty, we might hear down the road exactly what went on as well.
Simon Lewis in the Irish Examiner this week, when he had an interesting report on Graham Rowntree's departure, and he says that his exit was probably being discussed before the Sharks game, and Simon Lewis understood that talks had been ongoing between himself and Munster Rugby Board and the Professional Games Committee. So this has obviously been something that's been brewing in a while, and maybe it was down to the fact that the results didn't change, that they didn't get better, and therefore that they decided just to part ways.
I think, look, it wouldn't, I'd love to have the answers here for people who want and expect maybe us to come out and speak about this. There's it's a really difficult one because we don't know exactly, and adding kind of fuel to any of the speculation, but I would suspect that when Munster arrived back on Monday from South Africa, that they didn't just make a quick decision there, powers that be. So what Simon is saying there about this being in the offing, it's I'm sure it has. Maybe the South African tour kind of rubber stamped that it's not working. Things have broken down. We've heard issues about the dynamics of the coaches and the vision and people going different directions with the way they want things to operate. Again, you know, that's their rumours on the outside. They're people saying that to me, not me saying this. I want to clarify because any of my interactions with Graham have been, you know, there's been never been an issue. And I thought, as I said, he was the right man for the job and I backed him for the job. And he got that brilliant success in winning the URC. I have connections, obviously, with Mike and Dennis, but I don't go there. I don't go and ring them and say what's going on behind the scenes or what's this or what's that. It doesn't happen because that's unfair on them and it's unfair on me in a sense that potentially they could influence me what to say when I'm on a platform like this or vice versa. You know, I could put them under pressure. So that doesn't happen. Roger's one of my best mates. I don't ever talk to him when Leinster are playing La Rochelle in the last few years and start getting little insights here or there because, again, it's a recipe for disaster with friendships. So it's probably as well that I clarify that because people think that maybe I'd be ringing Prendy or Dennis or anything like that. I have respect for all of them. And I think I thought they were a great dynamic as a coaching ticket when it all pieced together, I thought. And they had that instant success and you know, I was there in Cape Town when they won that URC and it just felt like a really magical moment, aside from the obvious of winning a trophy. But this was like such relief and, you know, seeing Munster fans that were there when I played and won, you know, when we won the 06 and 08, we all looked a bit older, but the diehard fans that travelled to Cape Town, and it was a massive relief. And people at home would give so many people a lift and great optimism. Can we kick on here and can we grow and get stronger? And, you know, I suppose the injury profile last year was horrendous. It's cropped up again, been really bad. So I think all the elements here need to be looked at. Obviously, there needs to be a review. I said that in 2016, and it was seen as having a major go off Munster. But I think in any organisation or any situation like this, and maybe it's happening, maybe there's people, maybe that's the reason. Maybe there has been a review of where everything is going. But I think, you know, again, you can't come out and tell your fan base every last detail of what your plan is and what you're doing and where you're weak and where you're strong. But I think seeing some bit of a collective movement here would be really good for Munster fans. And again, there's a human side to Graham leaving. You know, I doubt very much that he decided I want to finish up with Munster because they're not working with me here. I'm not happy with where we're going. So, you know, it's a really, really big call. And it's one that unfortunately will rumble on a little bit. So there is those rumours out there that the dynamic kind of broke down a little bit. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. And that could be very unfair to say that. But just because, you know, Graham may be unhappy with some part of his coaching staff or his playing staff, So we don't know. And maybe there is an amicable kind of movement here that there's an impasse that can't be breached. The problem for Munster now is getting somebody to come in, and Wayne Costello takes over. In the short term, they play an All Black select team on Saturday in Thomond Park. It's a sellout. What do you think the questions will be, Fiona, if you're walking into the stadium on Saturday for both of us and any other ex-Munster players? What's going on? Why did this happen? You know, so I don't know. It's, you know, maybe they could have done without a match this week and just and get themselves together. But the other side of this is there's people in the group there. You know, Mossy Lawler came in from Connacht as well. Prendy, Leamy, they're not inexperienced guys, you know. Well, Prendy is probably the most experienced, of being, you know, on the coaching ticket before for the other lads. And maybe he would put his hand up and say he wants a crack at the head coach's job. We've seen it, you know, incredible improvement in the way Munster have played in the last few years. And that's very obvious to see from the way Munster previously played under Johan van Graan. So, yeah, there's been, some green shoots along the way, but I think it's a worrying time for Munster now. And, you know, maybe this is a ruthless kind of a decision that the PAG or the powers that be who make this decision, and the IRFU, David Humphreys, I'm sure he has to be involved with this. Mm-hmm. And the same with David Nissafour, with any of the appointments or sackings. And we saw with Dan McFarlane last year when he left Ulster, that was a kind of a shock, because it doesn't happen. And you said Gerry Thornley makes the point, this isn't soccer. It's not like willy-nilly you sack coaches. It doesn't really happen in the professional game here. When coaches run out, when contracts run out and stuff like that, they mightn't have been renewed, or people get time to kind of close the door behind them themselves, if you like, and leave and clear out their office. This is a very rash kind of, not a rash decision, but a very quick announcement, and one that shocked people. So who knows where they go to from here.
Yeah, Rory chatting to Alan Quillen and Fiona Hayes about Graham Rowntree's departure from Munster there. You can listen to the Red 78 every week on Off the Ball. The latest from Thomond Park is Munster 12 points to the All Blacks is 14 points, all to play for in the second half there in Thomond, and we'll keep you up to date. Now to football, and last night Shells won the SSC Electricity League of Ireland Premier Division title, beating Derry City 1-0 in the Brandywell. To review the league as well as preview the FAI Cup final next week, as well as some Cork City, of course, couldn't leave them out, I caught up with Paul Nealon of Irish Football Fan TV. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Paul Nealon of Irish Football Fan TV. Paul, what a League of Ireland season it's been, down to the last day. As a Shells fan, you must be absolutely delighted anyway.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, as far as final days go, it doesn't get much better than that, and being up there in Derry to see it, and the way Shells had to do it in the end to get the wins the last couple of games, and then obviously to go up to Derry and then do it up there, you know, was the ultimate hard task. And don't forget, it wasn't too long ago Derry, you know, made an example of Shells in the cup final a few years ago. So to go up there and kind of show the steel that they did against a very good Derry side was amazing. And what a job Damien Duff has done in terms of the club at Shelburne, but not just the club, but in terms of eyes on the League of Ireland. And I think most people who don't really, well, a lot of people hate Shells, but a lot of people who don't actually hate Shells or kind of can see a non-biased thing about it would think that Damien Duff winning the league with Shelburne is a far better story than the five in a row, purely because it brings more eyes to the League of Ireland, and hopefully it brings more fans and more, you know, increases the fan base. That's what you would hope, and that's what I certainly get from even the scenes last night.
What? Why do you think there has been this massive buy-in from the Shells fan base towards Duff?
I don't think it's just the Shells fan base. I think it's Irish fans who love Damien Duff as a player, and they're seeing what he's bringing, his character, you know, that siege mentality where he's made it us against yous, and he's made a battle with every other manager. Like, he's had, you know, his run-ins with Rudy Higgins, he's had his run-ins with Stephen Bradley as well. But like at the end of the day, there's mutual respect between them, and it's nothing major. Like it's nothing, you know. At the end of the day, as I said, they have the respect for each other. So like, it's not a case of they absolutely hate each other. They you know, the respect is there, and they congratulate each other at the end of the season and stuff like that. So look, for the 90 minutes, they're enemies. You got to respect that as well. I think from the outside looking in, even the Derry City fans at the end stayed behind and clapped Damien Duff. And the Shells team, so I think there's a lot of respect there and class from the Derry fans to do that, because most fans would have left, to be honest with you. I know I would have left. I wouldn't have stuck around, obviously, if I wasn't working. But no, listen, like the Shells fans come out in their droves. Damien Duff is giving fans up the dream about again.
Well, I mean, as a Shells fan, again, you must be absolutely elated. And speaking of Rory Higgins there, is this a bit of a failure from a Derry perspective? Didn't win the league last year, and now really he definitely should have won it this year with the squad he has.
Well, I definitely think Derry City fans will be looking at that as a failure. I mean, considering the budget and the players that they brought in, some of them are unlucky with injuries. I mean, I think if Colin Whelan is playing for a large part of the season, they probably would have done the job. To be honest, I think he's a fabulous player, but I don't think that pitch up there really helps anyone. He came out and said it was a bit of a health hazard anyway. So I'm not making excuses for them, because you know they're not my team or anything like that, but they've definitely got the bulk of a really good squad there, and they've got some of the best players in the league at his disposal. In all honesty, Shells shouldn't have probably won the league if you're looking at it on paper, but they did, and because they were the best team, not necessarily the best individuals, but they were the best team overall. And Damien Duff got a tune out of a lot of players that other managers didn't show love to. Players like Sean Gannon coming back, you know, coming to Shelburne. Leaving Shamrock Rovers, even taking Liam Burt on loan from Shamrock Rovers, that was a bit of a masterstroke as well. He's won big games for Shells as well, only recently scoring in the Waterford game. But like, I do think Derry, speaking to their fans, like, obviously they have to go and win that cup final. I'm sure you're going to speak about it, and I think they'll be, you know, I couldn't see a pass, to be honest with you, for the cup final.
Yeah, well, you might as well segue into it, and I suppose that was the question. Is there any way you see Drogs winning this one? I suppose on a one-off game, Paul, Derry have been so shaky like this season at times. And anything can happen, really, and that is the beauty of the Cup.
I just think of the Cup final against Shells, and they were too classy for Shelburne that day in the Aviva, and a lot of those players are still there. And then they signed Patrick Hooban and a few others, so they have players who've been and done it at that level. Whereas trying to have a couple of Gary Deegan and a couple of others, maybe they don't really have that experience. They're kind of young enough side, maybe a little bit naive, and I think Derry are, you know, they'll be quite experienced all over the pitch, and you know, none of the players got injured last night, I don't believe, so they'll be going into full strength, and players like Mickey Duffy, Pat Hooban and these types, they strive in those big moments. You know, Mikey Duffy's often turned up in cup finals and stuff like that. He knows it's his time to shine. So I just think they're going to be too strong. Listen, do I love a good cup upset and a underdog story? Absolutely. So if Drogs did it, I'd be absolutely delighted for him. I really like Kevin Doherty. I think it's underrated, probably, the job he's done. You know, when you look at Dundalk going down and Drogheda staying up again, that's another successful season for Drogheda. I know it's not completely done because there's playoffs as well to play, but I still think they'll stay up as well, to be honest with you.
Were you surprised to see Derry go for as much as they did last night? I know, look, they've ultimately finished fourth, but with the cup, you think that'd be more the aim against Drogs rather than the game last night?
I don't think really that we're going to lie over at any stage, you know. I don't think, like, realistically, I know in an ideal world all Shells fans would have wanted that, but like, I'm happy that Derry did it the way they did it. It gave absolutely nobody any excuses for Shells to win it the way they won it. And look, you have to beat the best teams that are in front of you. Don't get me wrong, Derry are going to be there this time next year for sure. I definitely believe that. They'll strengthen again. Whether Rory remains in the job, I don't know. talking to some of the fans, they didn't seem too happy with him. I like him personally, professionally. I've worked with him a few times. I like the guy. I hope he can turn it around, and I hope it goes well for him. But I do, I'm really, really excited about the season next year with Stephen Kenny there, with St. Pat's. You know, Stephen Bradley will be hungry to get the title back. And then you've got Shells as well looking to defend their title. So there's so much coming into next season. Cork coming up, of course. Shawnee Maguire, Rory Keaton there, back with them.
Are they the strongest strike force in the Premier Division coming into next season, Paul, do you think?
I think it's too early to tell, Dan, to be honest with you, because the reason I say that is because we don't know who Shells will sign, we don't know who Rovers will sign. Mm-hmm. So right now, yes, you would probably say so, yes. I haven't seen Shawnee Maguire play for a number of years now. I know he's been back at Cork, but I haven't got to see any of the games yet, so I don't know. I haven't watched the two of them together, but they seem to know each other quite well. They're two fantastic footballers. Shawnee Maguire, cult hero at Cork City, and he's loved. Look, again, he's talking about people coming back and trying to make an impact. Shawnee Maguire, you would like to think that he'd be hoping to do that. And again, a strong Cork team is good for the League of Ireland as well. So you have a strong kind of outside of Dublin, you have a strong amount of teams there between Galway, Waterford, Cork, you know, so there's, and they're strong sides. And then you just never know. Like, watching Shells win the league this season, Shells had no right to win the league. So you just never know what's around the corner. So next season, honestly, I'm licking my lips because there hasn't been this level of excitement in so long. And I love it. I just, I've been doing Irish Football Fan TV for coming into the 8th year, and I've never seen such a buzz like it. You know, you're the former Ireland manager coming back to manage the League of Ireland, and you look at how he, you know, he helped St. Pat's get Europe, considering the position they were in.
Yeah.
Phenomenal job by Stephen Kenny as well. So look, I'm really excited by next season, and I think that, again, like I said, Cork there, Waterford will be stronger, Galway will be stronger, Shells will be stronger, Rovers, you know, literally, I could say the whole league, yeah. Literally. So it's, look, you can tell by my voice, like, I'm really excited about next season. But I'm gonna go out tonight. I'm gonna enjoy. I've been talking to a couple of the players. I might be meeting them later on for a few drinks because I didn't get to meet them last night. So I'm hoping I can meet them now in the next couple of hours and hopefully have a few. Paddy Barrett's a good man for a few drinks.
Well, look, Paul, I'm under pressure for time here, but I leave you with this one. Where's a good finish for Cork City next season?
I think Cork, a mid-table finish to build on for this following season would be a good season for Cork. Anything above that, I think, would be a bonus for them. A European place or something like that would be a bonus for them. Like I said, though, I think it's going to be a really strong league. So I think mid-table, survival, and then kick on. A bit like Shelburne the second time they came up, you know, under Duff when Ian Morris got us promoted. But, you know, it's just a steady season. Following season was Europe. Following season was the league.
Brilliant stuff with Paul Neal of Irish Football Fan TV. Thank you so much for joining us here on Cork's Red FM.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, huge thanks to Paul there. Come back to us in the second half. We'll be catching up everything GA with Joe McCarthy.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next 25 minutes. Earlier on, I caught up with Joe McCarthy to chat all things LGFA as well as Castlehaven's County Championship football win. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our usual reporter out in the field, Joe McCarthy. Joe, you were out for us in O'Donovan Ross's clash versus Scarta Glen for us earlier. How did you fare at that one?
Dan, what a game. Fantastic open clash that was won by the West Cork Club 4-9 to 3-11 in the Munster Intermediate Championship semi-final. So O'Donovan Ross from Skibbereen and Scarta Glen from Kerry, the two intermediate championships champions from their respective counties, just met in the semi-final of this this provincial championship, and it went down to the final minute. There was only 6-7 minutes of injury time. Scarter then had a free near the end. Had they popped it over, we'd still be there in extra time. And look, there was a huge crowd, great atmosphere. But O'Donovan Rasta, for those who don't know, went on a bit of a run, have been on a bit of a run over the last number of years. Last year, they won the Cork County Junior A title, then they won the Cork Munster title and went all the way to Dublin in December and won the All-Ireland Junior title as well. And since then, in 2024, they've taken like ducks to water when it got to the intermediate grade. They beat Neva Vaughan. We were there for the Big Red Bench a couple of weeks ago, nearly a month ago now, to win the intermediate county title, and they're now one match away from winning back-to-back Munster titles. But they certainly did not have it all their own way from Scar to Glen, but a fantastic win for O'Donovan Rasa and through to a Munster intermediate final.
Fionnuala O'Driscoll had 1-3 in the game. What a performance she had, Ger.
Yes, a lot. Like, the one thing with the Skibbereen team, most people outside of O'Donovan Ross would know of Laura O'Mahony, who is the Cork senior that plays for them, plays midfield, and played brilliantly today, and kicked 1-1 herself. She scored a goal inside the opening minute. But this panel has evolved since playing Junior D, Dan. I've seen them come up from Junior D. They're going to be a senior club for the first time in 2025. Huge, a lot of momentum behind them. And today, one of those players you don't hear an awful lot about, Fionnuala O'Driscoll, came up with 1-3, and of that 1-3, the crucial score was the winning point just on the stroke of full time. Now, there was about 7 minutes injury time. A lot happened before that, to put it mildly. At half time, they got off to the best possible start, O'Donovan Rasta. They were 1-4 to no score up after 5 minutes. They absolutely blitzed the Kerry team, but in fairness to Scar Glen, they recovered and then they scored the next 1-5. And like, there was only a couple of points in it at half time. But in the second half, we had two converted penalties. Shauna Tangi, who converted both of those penalties for Scarta Glen, kept them certainly in the game in a very tight second half. And for O'Donovan Rasta, they rode their luck today at times, because two of their second half goals came from long range free attempts. One of those was by Fionnuala O'Driscoll. She was looking to score a free, went under the crossbar, and then from a free further out again, Ava O'Donovan, another player with a fantastic game for Skip, her effort crept under the crossbar for a second goal. So this one was in the melting pot right up until the end, but it was Fionnuala O'Driscoll, in fairness to her, who was absolute clutch, got on the end of a flowing move, stuck it over the bar, and then Skib, as they have done all year and over the last couple of years, Dan, their defence, which is rarely mentioned again, but they were absolutely outstanding. Ali Tobin is a name we're going to be hearing a lot about in the coming years. But it wasn't just her. There was other players like Lisa Hart, Sarah Hurley in the backs, and their goalkeeper, Zalela Hayes, was fantastic. She made a couple of very, very important saves. And look, it took an all-around team performance. It sounds like a cliche, but the scores were well spread. Fionnuala O'Driscoll, as you mentioned, got 1-3. Ava O'Donovan, 1-2. Kate O'Donovan, another forward, who also came up with the goods, as did Laura O'Mahony on the afternoon. And it was just a fantastic performance, all-round performance by Skib. Now, they had their luck. They got two lucky goals. And then in the 6th or 7th minute of injury time, Shauna Tangi, who had already scored two penalties, had a free to take it to extra time, but unfortunately for her and Scarta Glen, that effort went inches wide, and that was all she wrote. So O'Donovan Rasta are true to their second consecutive Munster final, which will be next Sunday in Mallow.
Would you be worried about them going into the senior grade, Ger, because the way they've gone through the junior, now into intermediate, there's no signs of them slowing down at any stage?
No, we've seen, I suppose I wouldn't have as much concern about them, Dan, from the point of view, I don't see them winning a senior title going up next year, and that's not to take anything from them, but we've seen it with previous intermediate champions over the last couple of years. Glanmire now are the exception. They got to the senior semi-finals this year, but it takes a year, if not two, when you get up to senior, to find your feet. All the success, I point to another West Cork club, Castlehaven, who have done very, very similar to O'Donovan Rasta, came up through the ranks, from the junior ranks all the way up to senior. They've competed for the senior B title, but you know, there's established teams like Mornabby, like Aeroge, and this year we saw the emergence of Ada, St. Val's. There's 4 or 5 clubs at the very, very top now with the panels and the experience at senior level. It takes a while then to find your feet at senior level, and I suppose the key thing is to be competitive as much as you possibly can, and irrespective of all your previous, you know, experience or your previous successes, and Glanmire will tell you that, Castlehaven will tell you that, it takes a while before you can make the breakthrough at senior club level. It's that biggest step up in Cork at the moment. And the good news for Cork LGFA and for Joe Carroll, the new manager, as well, is we now have 4 or 5, if not more, clubs angling for the title again next year. Mornabby weren't involved for the first time in 12 years this year in the semi-finals. we've had other clubs emerge with a lot of talented, experienced players, but a lot of talented players as well. And O'Donovan Ross, the spine of that team, certainly will help them hold their own when they get to senior, but they may need a year or two, I think, to find their feet. But this year, Dan, this year one is far from over. They're heading into a Munster final where they'll meet the winners of this evening's second semi-final between the Tipperary and Limerick champions. They'll be in Mallow for that, and they have every chance of winning that on home soil. But when they do go up to senior, when they do find their feet, keep an eye out on O'Donovan Ross, because they are certainly a club still on the up.
Well, speaking of senior B anyway, your own Clonakilty are in a semi-final themselves tomorrow, Ger. How are you feeling about that one?
Yeah, big day for Clonakilty. The Clon team that now play senior level, won the intermediate title a few years ago, they won this year's senior B football championship, and they did that by seeing off Castlehaven in the semi-finals on free kicks. And then in the final, they edged on a horrible day in MTU weather-wise, they edged Kinsale 2-5 to 0-5. And what that did is it gave them a first senior trophy, which is a huge boost for the club. But not alone that, it earned them a Munster championship appearance away to Kilmihill in Clare tomorrow. Now, the game throws in at 1 o'clock then, but it's a 3-hour journey to get there, so they're going to be leaving pretty early. But from Clan's point of view, they'll be hoping, much like O'Donovan Rossa, they can take the momentum that they've gained and earned from this year's senior championship into that clash. Now, there's no senior B All-Ireland, so it's just a Munster championship, but it's an opportunity, a second opportunity to lift the trophy. Now, the fact that it's away from home, the fact that it's such a long journey down to Kilmill, you know, obviously the travelling is obviously going to be a factor for them, but hopefully there's enough quality in that squad and in that Clonakilty panel that they can do something special. They are going to be up against it because they're playing the Considine sisters, Emer and Aisling. And the two Considine sisters, one of them plays international rugby and the other one is just back from is back from Australia, where she won a Premier AFL, that's Aussie Rules for Women, when she was a professional player for years there. So those two players, those two Considine sisters, were very, very prominent in the Clare team's quarterfinal victory, and we would expect them to be the main players that Clonakilty would have to worry about. But Clon have plenty of experience of their own in goal. They have the former Cork senior goalkeeper, Martin O'Brien. Centre-back, they have the former Cork defender, Aisling Hutchings. And they've got an array of young players, Schaefer Patwell, Millie Condon, Katie O'Driscoll, who's broken onto the Cork team, Maeve O'Donovan, their captain, and some really, really good defenders that have really come of age this year. Ruth Shanley, Siobhan Callan, just to name but a few. Niamh Kennedy and Niamh Desmond Collins as well. So, look, this is a very, very talented Clonakilty panel. It's just won a county a senior title for the first time. They will be up against it, definitely, going up there, but they've got the firepower up front and the likes of Schaefer Patwell, as I said, Sinead O'Donovan as well, got 1-2 in that final against Kinsale. They have enough firepower up front, definitely, that if they play to their full potential, they can reach a final. But away from home, it's such a long journey, that would be the interesting factor in such an early throw, and will they be able to, you know, to capitalise or able to deal with that? But we'll find out tomorrow.
Talking about people reaching finals, they're in a senior A final tomorrow. How do you think they'll get on there?
Yeah, what a year for Ahada. They won the senior A championship, for people who may not know, for the first time in their history, but they did it on free kicks, beating Aroge, who've been to the final for the previous, you know, their fourth consecutive final, Aroge, so they knew all about it. Ahada were the underdogs in that one, but what a performance they put in to win it on free kicks again the same day as the Clonakilty game when the weather was pretty awful. But this is Eric Smith has cultivated a very, very good panel here in Ireland. This hasn't happened necessarily overnight. They have a lot of experience with the likes of Hannah Looney, who people would know from her Cork Camogie exploits. They've also got Emma Farmer, who's been one of the best forwards in the championship this year. And of course, they've got Roisin Phelan, the former Cork intercounty defender, who's back with them this year, having been away in Dublin, and she's made a huge, huge difference to them as well. But you know, from Ahada's point of view, to win a senior title is the stuff that dreams are made of. And like, you know, going into it now, they, much like Clonakilty, they have home advantage now on Sunday, and they're taking on a team, Comeragh Rangers. And that name may not be synonymous with people that listen to the Big Red Bench, and that's because for the last 42 years, then the Waterford champions, 42 years, have been Ballymacarbery, but that was ended this year by Comeragh. So they're certainly on a high as well. But I think the fact that Ahada have home advantage in the semi-final, we saw it today with O'Donovan Ross, the crowd, huge crowd in attendance, getting behind them. Ahada had a massive attendance at this year's Senior A County Final as well against Aroge, and they're going to need every supporter in this one. It's uncharted territory for Ahada, obviously, in Eric Smith's side, but look, as I mentioned, some of the players that I mentioned there's a real talented panel in Ahada, and they're on such a high They have a lot of very good experienced players. They've also got the likes of Sarah Leahy, who's had a fantastic year for them as well in defence, and players of that ilk, you know, that are, that could make the difference. But they're playing a Waterford champion who've ended Bally McCarbery's reign of 42 years in Waterford. So in terms of confidence, in terms of momentum, you can be rest assured they've plenty. They'll have no fair comrade coming into Ahada. But I do think home advantage, I do think just the momentum that's behind them at the moment with Ada, I think they're going to win this one. And if they do get to a final, who knows what the rest of the year holds. Because if the two teams win tomorrow, and it's a big if for Clonakilty and for Ada, they'll join O'Donovan Rossa and Middleton in Munster finals. That'd be all four teams. Middleton, of course, who won the Munster Junior or the Cork Junior A title this year and went down to Shamrocks and put up a huge result, winning 6-18. I can't remember what they scored though, but they scored 6-18. So it's already been a fantastic year so far for Cork clubs, and two teams already through the Munster finals. It'd be fantastic if we could get the other two in there tomorrow. It won't be easy, but I think if Clonakilty play to their potential, I think they can do it. And I certainly think home advantage for Ada, they have every chance against Comber Rangers, and we'll be hoping by the end of tomorrow evening, Dan, that we have four Munster finals to look forward to the following weekend involving Cork clubs.
Yeah, it would be incredible. Best of luck to all the sides involved. That's the LGFA side of the house wrapped up. Castlehaven, Jor, how have you reflected on the week since their county final win? I mean, it's probably hard for them not to get a small bit carried away, or maybe in the back of their heads somewhere, because you look at the All-Ireland series now, the Glen are gone, St. Bridget's are gone, Kilmacud Crokes are gone. It's opening up there a lot in the All-Ireland series.
I think that's a fair comment, Dan, but I can tell you that Seanie Callan, the Castlehaven manager, will not be allowing his players to think that. You're right, though. A lot of the heavy hitters that you would normally associate in the men's Munster Championship, and certainly in the All-Ireland Championship, are gone, and it does. But like, not alone does that open up for Castlehaven, it opens it up for everybody else as well. And that's the other side of it. I do think, to be fair to Castlehaven this year, they beat, I can't believe it's over a week, it feels like a month ago, but like, they beat Nemo Rangers 16 points to 11 in Super Valley Park. We were there for the Big Red Bench. We heard from all the players afterwards. Winning a Premier Senior title is not easy. The three clubs that have dominated in Cork, or as you know, over the last decade, if not more, are Nemo, St. Finbarrs and De Haven. Mm-hmm. And this year, Castlehaven beat St. Finbarrs and Nemo in the semi-final and final, so they've earned it. They've certainly earned it. But to win back-to-back titles is an absolutely terrific achievement, because it's so hard to do it, Dan. The other thing to mention is that Seanie Callan, the manager for Castlehaven, this is his first year managing any team. So to do that as a rookie, as we call him, and to use the American term, to do that, now he was captain when De Haven won the last time De Haven won two senior titles back to back in 2012 and 2013. So Seanie's a leader. But the way he's taken on the job from James McCarthy, who led Castlehaven to Premier Senior and Munster titles last year, and the manner in which he's built on James McCarthy's great work, I think has been one of the stories of the season. It was a fantastic, I don't think it was an all-out fantastic performance, sorry, from Castlehaven, but they certainly controlled things in the second half more than they thought they would. And, you know, if you're going to win a Premier Senior, I think the thing that, for me, that has stood out more than anything is, one thing is Seanie Callan's leadership and his backroom team, but also, Dan, their defence. One goal conceded all year in the Premier Senior, and that was in the opening round against Clonakilty. And since then, Castlehaven have kept clean sheets against St. Michael's, against Carbery Rangers, against the Bars, and against Nemo. And like, that is just, that's an unbelievable thing to do, no matter how good a team you are, to keep a clean sheet at the highest level, and to do that against really, really quality attacking, you know, opposition, the ones that I've mentioned there, to go all the way to the final and to do that. And then in the second half, to alter your tactics slightly, to get over the hill against a team of the quality of Nemo. This Castlehaven team is still only reaching its prime. That's the thing, Dan. They've got a lot of experience. They have the Callans, they have the Hurleys. But it's not the Callans and the Hurleys necessarily that have been the ones that have, you know, the only reason that they've had the success they've had this year. It's other players that we don't normally talk about. Darragh Cahalan in goal, Jamie O'Driscoll, Johnny O'Regan, Tomás O'Mahony, and Sean Brown as well, another player that's really come on. And then you have the likes of Robbie Minahan, Colin McGuire, and Andrew Welton. It's the thing this year that's different, Dan, with Castlehaven, is it's not the usual suspects that are getting over the line, and they are making an impact, certainly Mark Collins and Mio, or Michael Hurley and Brian Hurley and the Callans. It's those other players that I've mentioned. They've all improved, and they've improved under James McCarthy, and you know, Seanan Callan is built on it. And here you have Castlehaven heading in now to a Munster semi-final, but they're heading into the bear pit, to put it mildly, travelling down to Dr. Crokes. What a game that's going to be. But you're right, I think they're in as good a position as they were, if not better, than this time last year. And if they can get over Crokes, who knows what will happen.
John McCarthy, thanks so much for speaking to us here on the Big Red Bench, as always.
No better than.
Yeah, huge thanks to Jer, as always. O'Donovan Ross at 4-9, Scarta Glen 3-11. And here's Jer speaking to the stars, Fionnuala O'Driscoll and Laura Manny from O'Donovan Ross after the match.
Now, Laura Manny, Fionnuala O'Driscoll, two very happy O'Donovan Ross players at the end of an absolute mammoth battle. Fionnuala, your winning point got your team over the line. You also got a very, very good goal there in the second half from way out. Were you going for the top corner?
Let's say that, yeah. I was going for a point, but look, sometimes you just got to ride your luck and take them as they come. So delighted to find the back of the net anyway.
How tough a battle did you get today? This is a serious Scarta Glen team, but you had the answers in the end, but they really pushed you to the limit.
I think they've pushed us to limits we haven't seen before. Like, even when we weren't up, they just wouldn't go away. They wouldn't give up. I mean, they're a serious outfit. They're going to do amazing at senior in Kerry next year, but an outstanding team. Like, will benefit so much from that going into the Munster final. But yeah, it was an unbelievable game, and they pushed us to limits that we didn't know we had.
And how much will this bring you on heading into a Munster final?
Oh, massively, massively. Like, you want to be playing the best. They're a serious side. We couldn't have asked for, you know, a better semi-final going into a Munster final. So yeah, we're delighted. Tough and tired, but delighted, yeah.
Laura Manny, how much of last year's experience is being at this stage, winning at home, big games in front of a big crowd, helped you?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look back to our All-Ireland semi-final last year at home, we were very lucky to play that semi-final at home in front of our home fans. And I think that always does stand to you when you're playing in the same pitch that you train in every single week and the same dressing room. You know, we all have our place that we sit in there, and just makes it takes away that bit more nerves that you might have before a big game.
Serious attendance here today. There's been a big crowd following you for a long time, but even bigger again today, and you needed them.
Definitely, yeah. Look, like Finn said, you know, Scarta Glen, they never went away. They were brilliant. Like, every time we thought we had put them down, they came back, and they nearly turned their minds then around and towards the end, you know, like, especially in that last free, we were like, oh, did we leave it behind us? But, you know, when you can always count when you hear something go our way. I don't even look sometimes. It's our fans that you can hear after you cheering red and white going, that we know that something's gone our way.
Right near the end, they had a free that could have taken us extra time. They missed it, but look, on days like today, you don't look back and noise, you just look back and get into the final.
Yeah, I think you never win a game on just one point, one particular score, one particular block. It's the commutative amount of them together, and you know, like, it's 1-15, 1-30, all our management that's getting us over the line every week. I'm sure that we're all like, Jesus, is this going to go on forever? We hope it does, but it's take next week now as it comes again.
Best of luck to you, congratulations. Big crowd waiting to wave you off there, so I'll let you go.
Thanks, thank you.
And let's hear now from Lisa Hart.
Lisa, congratulations. A second consecutive Munster final for Donovan Rossa, but boy, oh boy, did Scarta Glen make you work for it.
Oh my God, definitely the toughest battle we had yet. They was just tit for tat all the way through the game. Oh my God, just absolute credit to them as well. They're an incredible side. You know, it could have gone either way on the day, but yeah, glad to come out on the right side of it now.
Yeah, you were up against it today. You got two fortunate goals, put it mildly, but right near the end, Fionnuala O'Driscoll kicking over that winning point. They had a chance late on. Did you think we were going to extra time?
Oh my God, I hoped we weren't when they got that last free. All right, I was thinking that we would, but thank God we didn't have to, because I don't know what our legs been able for it. But yeah,
how much did the crowd keep you going today? A huge crowd in here to watch you.
Oh, it just means everything. Like, the crowd, you know, to have a whole, like, a Munster semi-final at home, it's just stuff of dreams. And like, the crowd kept us going there today, and to look up into the hill and see that all these people have come to support us, it just means everything to us.
All the best in another Munster final.
Thank you, thanks.
And last but not least, let's hear from James O'Donovan, funnily enough, the O'Donovan Ross manager.
Okay, James, not good for the heart. One point when you're into another Munster final, congratulations on that, but boy, did they put it up to you today.
Yeah, I thought they were ascending. It was a cracking game, first and foremost. Brilliant game up and on the pitch. We had a great start. Then we just took the foot off the gas a touch, and then they roared back into it and we'd won 3 without reply, you know. So it's a cracking game, and, you know, it's great to get over the line with a one-point win.
To be fair, your two second half goals were fortunate, but Eva and Fionnuala were going for points. But you take them on days like these.
You will, yeah. To be honest, I think we had three fortunate goals, to be fair. Davis free in the first half was short and Kate tapped in as well. Like, so you know, you need luck. We got bags of it today, though, to be fair, with the three goals. So, but look, you've got to take it when the opportunity is given to you. They still had to fight hard there at the end to see it out, and they did, you know.
Real clutch winner from Fionnuala as well, in fairness, sir, from way out the field, and that was an excellent score, and you needed it.
Yeah, she's no better woman. Like, she's a beautiful striker of the ball. She kicks the ball, one of the best kickers of the club. And you know, when she's coming around the route like that, she was no one else you'd want on it.
And from your point of view, management, the backroom team, not much of a turnaround out to a Munster final, but this kind of a battle to bring you on, seriously.
Definitely. I suppose we've had 3 weeks since the Navan game there, and it was a kind of case of, you know, trying to not wear them out and trying to cut back and stuff like that. But you know, a game like today, that sharpens you up more than, you know, 20 trainings. Like, so yeah, that's going to stand to us, hopefully, you know. But again, I think we need to be better again to win a Munster. You know, whoever comes out of Limerick or Tipperary there today is going to be very strong.
That 3 weeks off, looking back on it now, you weren't at your usual full sharpness for the first half. Might that have been for the reason for the drop off?
I don't think so. Like, our first 10 minutes were exceptional. Like, we shot out of the blocks, went forward without reply. Thought we were going to have an easy day, to be honest with you. But then I suppose the journey up from first guard to Glynn there, maybe they just were a bit rusty at the start. I suppose we capitalised on it, probably won the game for us, you know. So,
and how much does this do for the crowd here again today, in following this team and the journey you've been on? All Ireland Champions Junior last year, second consecutive Munster final. It's some role,
yeah. And I suppose that's what it is. It's just the role. It's just when you're on the momentum of the role that we're on, seems to be getting us over the line every day. Like, you're winning games by a point, you know. That takes, you know, you need luck, like I said, and we had lots of luck today, but you still need an awful lot of heart and an awful lot of courage. And like, the girls have plenty of that, you know, they have plenty of that. So,
congratulations. We'll see you in the final.
Thank you, Ger.
Yeah, huge thanks to all the contributors on the show, particularly Ger McCarthy and his mammoth work. The latest from Thomond is Munster 17 points to the All Blacks' 26. Not looking too good. There's 20 minutes left there.